You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
They're back together again.
Hello and welcome to Movie BS with Bayer and Snyder, the internet's only movie podcast, brought to you by OneOfUs.net. I'm your host, Eric D. Snyder. Over there is my co-host, Jeff Bayer.
Can you guys see me over here? Here I am. I'm Jeff Bayer.
He's right over there.
Take a look. I'm the co-host. That's Eric D. Snyder. He's a co-host.
Hi.
We're ready to host. We're doing it.
You may have noticed if you were listening, a few seconds ago to the show. You heard an opening theme song, which in the past several weeks we've not been doing that. We've been doing a much shorter one. That was in response to listener feedback. Now we've received more listener feedback. Turns out a lot of people like the long theme songs. Didn't want us to get rid of them.
There's even one individual has one of the theme songs as a ringtone.
We should find out which one. They're all catchy in their own different ways.
And don't forget, listeners, if you have an idea for anything, whether it's speaking, singing, or instrumental, we will play it at least once.
Even though we're still deciding what to do about theme songs, we're going to talk later on in the show about your feedback. But whatever we do, we still are in the market for new theme songs.
That's right. And you can email us at moviebspdx@gmail.com, whether it is about that or anything else.
Right.
Feel free.
Feel free. And now on with the show. Well, later on, we'll come back to your suggestions for making the show better. But in the meantime, here is a perfect show. Let's just get right into it. First up, The Accountant.
The Accountant.
Ben Affleck is The Accountant. What could be more exciting? Right? Right?
As a title, nothing. That's it. That's the pinnacle.
The Accountant, yes, doesn't grab you when you hear The Accountant. Because you've met accountants before, right?
The stereotype, is there a more boring job?
That's the quintessential.
I don't think
that's
so.
That's the quintessential boring job. My friend Jolene, you've met Jolene.
Mm-hmm.
She has a doctorate in accounting. She's an accounting professor.
Whoa.
She knows all the numbers. She can count so high. It's crazy how high she can count. She wouldn't like this movie because there's too much violence. Yes, violence in a movie called The Accountant.
Yeah, they're smart to put a gun on the poster. Just to let you know, hey, we're kidding about the title.
Right. We know it sounds boring, but don't worry, there'll be shooting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So yeah, what we have is this kid who's different than the other kids. How is he different? It's autism.
Autism.
There we go. And apparently, he has the ability to not only crunch numbers, but crunch bones.
Yeah, good one, exactly. Many things he can crunch. He's got autism. As an adult, he's a Ben Affleck, and he's an accountant, got a little storefront, accountant business. Meanwhile, at the Treasury Department, J.K. Simmons got a new agent, a new analyst, trying to find this mysterious underworld figure who's the accountant to drug traffickers and arms dealers and stuff. He wants to find him.
Yeah, and all they have is a few pictures.
Yeah, and we see the pictures. We're like, is that our accountant? Is that Ben Affleck, the autism guy? What? He's like a shady accountant to the underworld.
Why is he doing this? How does this all add up?
And then meanwhile. There's John Bernthal from Walking Dead, and he's some kind of enforcer or hitman hired goon going around threatening people. We're not sure how that connects to the other things at first.
Right. The only thing that we know is, well, it's John Bernthal and kind of an interesting villain type. This is cool. He's got a bit of a lively personality, mm-hmm. whereas Ben Affleck purposely is dry as a bone, which does work. And then
because he's autistic,
right? And then there's another. Here comes little Anna Kendrick.
Good for her. Anna
She's
Kendrick.
In the movie too.
She is an accountant at the robotics high tech firm that has hired Ben Affleck to come and figure out what went wrong in their books. There's some money. There's some shady business going on. And so then he and Anna Kendrick dig that up. And well, it all just becomes a cat and mouse game and a race for their lives. And
people have to protect certain people. And there's things about the past that come forward.
There are flashbacks that pop up here and there of young Christian Wolf is the accountant's name. Of him as a child. He had a brother. Their mom left him. The dad was a military guy. We see bits of that. And we see how that informs the present.
Certain characters disappear for a long time, then they come back. John Lithgow's in the movie.
Yeah, he's the head of the robotics company. Jean Smart is there. That's his sister, also runs the company. And they got a CFO that they're not sure they trust. So all this is going on here. And
I'm mildly intrigued. By all of this going on, I keep being mildly intrigued.
Me too.
What is most interesting for me, Ben Affleck's performance. I really liked this. This was a different style that he is coming across with this film. And I think it works. He's cold. He's quiet. But it's like there's something cool about it, kind of, sort of. Something cool in that, like, in that Bourne and Jack Reacher. He's tapping into something there. But it's not totally working, but I'm curious about it.
I can't decide if I think it's an okay performance or a bad one.
I don't. Why would you need to? Why would you ever need to decide how you feel about a movie?
I definitely don't think that it's a – I don't think it's a great one. He's on the border between doing kind of an impersonation of an autistic guy.
Oh, it's most definitely an impersonation. There's no like – come on.
Right.
The idea of like trained assassin autistic, it's just
– Yeah, I don't
– It's a gimmick.
Yeah, so I don't buy it realistically, and I just – it's the question is whether it's an okay an okay skin-deep, shallow impersonation of autism or a bad impersonation of autism. I'm not sure what it is.
Or potentially offensive.
I don't know. Not offensive, just not good. Okay. Just not good at being not a good impersonation.
Well, and the weird thing too is this higher plot, this picking away at things – it's not nearly as interesting as the potential of J.K. Simmons like chasing down his white whale, because like this company is losing millions. There's millions unaccounted for,
and it's
a company that supposedly does some good, and who's behind it, and rah, 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 rah. Like none of that is fascinating stuff that leads to something greater.
I like all the tantalizing questions about who the accountant is and who he works for and who this other hitman is and how they're all tied together and what it has. I like the way that's all laid out. And when stuff starts getting shot and punched and broken, that's a good time.
Yeah.
I noted that I think I enjoy this Jason Bourne movie more than I enjoyed the most recent Jason Bourne movie.
As opposed to me, who
I know you loved it. You're the only person who loved it, but
person in the world. And I do the fact that Ben Affleck's character, again, Christian Wolfe, he's emotionally cold, but there's that sympathy attached. And again, that's the weird thing with the autism is kind of like, well, there's our easy way to be sympathetic to cold-blooded killer, I guess.
Well, I mean, because he's not a cold-blooded killer. He only kills people who need killing.
Yeah.
I'm interested. It's interesting to me how that aspect of it, the morality of it, didn't factor in more. That the movie didn't become all about, like, how does he justify this or how does it all work? It's just what he does. Like, it's almost like they're setting up it does seem like they're setting up a potential franchise a Jack Reacher kind of character who shows up and crunches the numbers.
100%. Everything about this movie is, hey, do you guys want a franchise? Because even the way it ends, there's certain characters that don't really get a goodbye.
Right, and I wouldn't say, and I wouldn't say that the whole movie is like that. It's more that the end of the movie is like that.
Yeah,
it's not like the whole 2 hours. You're thinking, oh, they're setting up sequels.
And for me, it was a little clumsy in how quickly some characters would disappear, and we'd be kind of waiting for them and wondering if there was a purpose behind that, and things like that. But again, terribly watchable.
Mm-hmm. Quite enjoyable. Directed by Gavin O'Connor, who made the film Warrior 5 years ago that had Tom Hardy, right?
Tom Hardy
and Joel Edgerton as yes. MMA fighters who were brothers. We liked that movie.
We did like that movie quite a bit.
The Accountant. It's fine. It's a B.
The Accountant is... It is so weird how identical we are so many times. It's a 7 out of 10 for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, we were sitting right next to each other. Makes sense. We'd, you know, see the same movie.
Sure.
So that is the only wide release that we have a review of this week. There's also a new Kevin Hart stand-up comedy movie. You know, where he's in front of an audience telling jokes.
What's the name of that one?
Kevin Hart. What Now?
Wait, is it really?
Yes, Kevin Hart. Oh. What Now?
All right.
They didn't screen it for critics here. They did some places. I think it's just... they've forsaken Portland.
I will definitely check it out when it's on Netflix. That's my feeling on that. He's had some really good stand-up specials. His stand-up specials mm-hmm. prove to be his highlight. It is better than anything else that he does. So hopefully this will be more of the same of that. And he's also really good about, so far from what I've seen, evolving his stand-up comedy.
Mm-hmm. His stand-up show has been very funny. I did a thing a couple years ago where I watched all the movies he's been in.
Oh, yeah.
And I ranked his performances. So I had occasion to watch all three or four of his stand-up films. And they're all very funny. Yeah. And then also a movie called Max Steel. That's about a teenager. It's the adventures of teenager Max McGrath and alien companion Steel, who must harness and combine their tremendous new powers to evolve into the turbocharged superhero Max Steel.
What?
It's a superhero movie from who's the distributor here? Open Road Films. So a small indie distributor doing a superhero movie. And again, it's live action, yeah. Did not screen it for critics, so, you know.
Maria Bello is in this movie. Andy Garcia's in this movie.
Well, I knew people would be in it. People are in everything. Every movie's got people in it.
Do you know who Ben Winchell is?
Well, sure, he plays Max McGrath in the new hit film Max Steel from Open Road Films. No, I don't know who he is.
Yeah, I don't either.
So we don't have reviews of those, but we do have a review of this movie called Christine in limited release.
Christine.
I saw it, not to sound like a broken record, but I saw it at Sundance.
That's a broken record.
Long right. time ago.
All right, I will fully admit this. Are you ready for how I watched this movie?
Yeah.
On the elliptical, two different days.
Oh, my gosh. it's the worst possible way to watch it. Well, not the worst possible way. On your phone would have been worse. That's terrible.
Wait, what do you mean? It was on my phone.
Oh, on your phone? I thought you meant like on the – oh, yeah, on the phone. Oh, yes, that's – okay, that's the absolute worst. Not only on your phone, but while you're exercising, ads split into two sections.
I got to be honest. I felt fully absorbed into the movie. Like, I think I can do this.
All right. All right.
I don't feel like it gave me a false appreciation or anything of the movie. I felt like I was zoned in.
All right.
I was surprised. I've never done this before, and I thought, what the heck? I got a busy schedule. Let me see if I can pull this one off.
Did you like the movie?
Oh, God, no. I was on the elliptical, and I was watching it on my iPhone. No. Let's see. It is a weird movie. This is a very bizarre movie. Here's what I knew about it.
It's not really.
Rebecca Hall,
mm-hmm.
and the movie's called Christine.
Right.
That was it. That's all I knew about it. So, no, I did not know Christine Chubbuck.
Chubbuck. I did not know the story. Okay.
I did not know that story.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yes. So, like, I guess here's the thing. Do we want to just say,
no.
It's
based on a true story. It's boats. But this woman, Christine Chubbuck, she's only famous because of the tragedy. And the tricky thing with making a movie like that is that if the audience already, if people already know going in what's going to happen, then the movie might be boring. It might just be spinning its wheels getting to that one famous thing. And I wonder, it's interesting that you didn't know.
Here's how I felt. I continuously felt, I wonder why I'm watching this.
Yeah.
I just keep wondering. And I really appreciate Rebecca Hall. And I mean, come on, 70s newsroom. Mm-hmm. Like I'm totally hooked on that thing. Small town, trying to find stories, trying to find a new angle. All of this stuff, sensationalized news. All of this is terribly intriguing to me. But this character of Christine, I had no idea where it was going.
She's a bit unstable.
And so it's like, is she a complete person? Is she stunted? Is she uneasy? Is she going to find a breakthrough? Is she going? Is this a story of redemption or success? And there's certain things it doesn't fully let you in. That's the interesting thing about this. It's just that you're with this unstable person,
mm-hmm.
and you don't know what the movie's goal is with this unstable person unless you know the real life event.
Unless you know what it's about, yeah.
Right. And so it was a very trippy experience for me.
I think it's a really good character study. And of course, that's partly informed by the fact that I did know what was going to happen in the end. And a movie like this could very easily be a, hey, let's watch the crazy lady fall apart kind of story. But it's not like that. I think it's really sensitive and I found it really compelling with her character. The deal is it's 1974. She's in Florida, TV news reporter, very ambitious, you know, man's business. So that makes it tough. And she wants to be a good reporter. She's a little screwy.
We're a little teased with the fact that there was an incident in Boston.
There had been some incident previously. Yeah.
But again, for the most part, though, the movie does tease you with like any baggage that might be occurring. Like you're really kind of just in the moment and you're not inside her head. You're right. Just kind of an observer of this person that, like, frankly, she just kept making me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But not in a way of snap out of it or anything else like that. It's like, what's going on here? Like, what is happening? What is she going to do?
She's like, right. She's awkward. She's awkward socially. She's struggling. TV ratings are a new thing for news. And so having to make the news more sensationalized is a new thing. She starts listening to the police scanner to find sensational stories. And she gets more, desperate. Professionally and personally. She's got a crush on the news anchor, Michael C. Hall. Doesn't notice that the weatherman has a crush on her. That's Timothy Simons from Veep.
Tracy Letts is the kind of no-nonsense executive producer for the station. And it's all good performances. Hers is the obvious standout to me, and it is such a focus on her. But again, there's just stretches of the film where you're like, does this matter? Like, is this important right now? What's happening, or is it just telling me something that's happening? And I would be very curious how based on a true story this is. Like everything from her pining for the affection of the anchor at the station,
mm-hmm.
to like little clips of stories and everything, and it all just kept intriguing me because of Hall's really going for it performance.
I think she as she gets more desperate, I think her behavior becomes more troubling. And the director Antonio Campos, he made After School, which I liked, and Simon Killer, which was okay. All of those movies, he's good at suggesting that a person is having inner turmoil without overdoing it.
Yeah,
so it is, and a lot of it is internal and it's psychological as opposed to big gestures. But then
it's a gentle hand is literally what it is that he does there. Yeah.
Funny you ask about real life, because actually another thing that I liked about the movie after I saw it and looked into it is that they changed things to make it a better story. For example, in real life, she lives with her mom. Or her mom lives with her at the time that this all goes on. in real life, it was her mom and one of her two brothers were living with her.
Whoa.
But she got no brothers in the film. And I'm guessing the reason is just because they didn't need them. There wasn't a – didn't need them in the story. So the most efficient thing was to – and so there's something else with the timing of she has a health scare and her history with psychiatrists.
That's it.
Some,
yeah,
of those, some of these are sort of smoothed out to make it just a more effective story.
Okay.
They're true, just maybe not in the, exactly the same order, the same same time. They don't, and they don't affect the outcome. They just make it a better story, which is great. I love a biopic not being – not feeling like it's obligated to be a documentary. Like, tell us a good story.
You love when Boats did that. You mm-hmm. just said that like a week or two ago.
I just complained about
some sisters.
About other people, that it had sisters that it didn't need. Yeah,
right.
Should have just dumped them like Christine did. Ultimately, I like it. I think it's really sensitive and compelling, and I think it's – again, you know, did you feel like not knowing what was going to happen, did you feel like it had to be going someplace not good? I feel like it had an ominous undercurrent, but I don't know if that's me reading into it.
No. It definitely did. It definitely did. I don't totally feel like it all added up, and mainly because this boat really is all about the event
right.
that happens, and that's the weird part for me with the entire film. It's almost one of those like things where it's like, why'd you do this? And I think the reason that they made this movie was to get an amazing lead actress performance out of anyone who took anyone mm-hmm. who was lucky enough to get the role, and that's what Rebecca Hall does.
Yeah, I think it's terrific, Christy, and I give it a B+.
I'm a 6 out of 10.
We asked you listeners for some feedback on how to improve the show, and several of you have given us some answers. We wanted to mention some of what we've heard so that you can disagree if you want to.
We want feedback on this feedback.
We heard from three specific different people separately told us that the long theme songs were annoying and they were tired of them. And so since we heard that from three people, we thought, oh, that must be a prevailing sentiment. But then sure enough, several people said no, they liked the theme songs and they missed them. So there's a point of controversy. We don't know who to believe.
You know what we could do?
Hmm.
We could do one of those polls. We could make a poll.
We could do a poll. So far, that's the only thing that's controversial, really. That's the one where if you have feelings one way or the other about the theme songs, you need to make them known one way or the other.
You have a feeling about the theme songs, but if the people speak, they speak.
Right, exactly. But then other things, there's been wide consensus that people like the DVD releases, the like that we were mentioning that again.
Most definitely. Mm-hmm. And we like it too. And we won't necessarily expand it. Like it won't get blown up out of a ridiculous portion, but we're going to make sure that we focus on that and hopefully maybe do some fun things with that in the future too.
Yeah, unless we forget. Listener Andy said he likes the occasional segment we would do where we'd look back at a certain weekend in the past and talk about the movies that came out that weekend. In general, he says, I like when you guys revisit old movies that we're all familiar with or even old movies some of us may have missed. Yeah, yeah. We didn't hear anybody say, play more games or bring back this game. So far, anyway. If you love the games, speak up.
But yeah, we might let that slide a little bit or only do a game on occasion, that sort of thing. And with that, though, I do, and I think we had this as an email or on Facebook, too. The looking back, it's not necessarily a game. It's more of a chance for us to kind of like focus on a film kind of thing.
It's a chance to talk about more movies.
Right. And our past and mm-hmm. what happened to us at that time.
Right.
Maybe we open up about that. Who knows?
Bridget actually did suggest a game. She says, I would literally pay attention to a game where Jeff gives the year in the box office hall and Eric guesses which movie it is. This is the most appealing part of Character Casserole. It is my favorite part of Character Casserole, too. I'm not going to lie to you.
I'm a big fan, too. I really do like it. Because, like, to me, there is there's almost no chance that I could ever do it. You should flip the tables on me sometime, and you'll just hear me stammer a lot.
Maybe, yeah, yeah.
But maybe not. Maybe something deep within my brain will finally wake up that I didn't know was there, and I will be the Rain Man of box office predictions.
You mean the accountant. The accountant of... He's the new Rain Man. The accountant is the new Rain Man.
He is.
I decided. Thank you, everyone who's given us feedback so far. And please let us know more. Do you like the games? Do you not like the games? The theme songs, yes or no? Any other comments or suggestions you have, let us know.
And also, we do really like the idea of, hey, if you have a question, ask us. The best way to do it is probably through email, because then we're the only one seeing it, and then we can consider it and like maybe fine-tune it and blah, 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 blah. And our email address is...
MovieBSPDX@gmail.com.
But then we're also on Facebook, and you can find all that at MovieBS.com.
Yeah.
We demanded to know, hey, kids, are you listening to the show?
We want to know who our youngest listener was, because previously, as far as we know, it was your nephew. But then it turns out...
17-year-old nephew.
17. We've got... we heard from a 16-year-old and a 15-year-old. Noah, as far as we know, is our current youngest listener. He's 15.
Can anyone beat Noah? Not now, physically, but just in the age category.
I assume a lot of you can beat him physically because he's only 15.
Yeah, he's only 15.
Dallin, honorary mention, 16 now, but he started listening when he was 13. We get him hooked young. That's what we do.
We are the cigarettes of podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, that's not even true because from what I understand, kids don't like to smoke anymore. It's not cool.
It's not cool anymore? And I just picked it up. I miss all the trends. So yes, if you're younger than 15 and you listen to the show regularly, ask your parents' permission to send us an email and tell us that.
Please do, because this suddenly is just as you were doing that. I was like, this is creepy.
Kids, the younger you are, the more we want to hear from you.
We really want to know how young you are.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, I'm going to vomit. Oh, but we also want old. Oh, but they don't know how to use computers.
Well, if they're listening to the podcast, they must know something about how to
use computers. Their grandson put it on their phone for them.
Well, then their grandson can help them send a message of how old they are.
It's true. Oh,
email.
This would be such a cute moment if grandma was like, Billy, I need to tell my podcast how old I am. Can you help me do that?
That's adorable.
It really is.
The condescending image we've come up with of our elderly listeners is adorable and in no way patronizing.
You know what we should do?
Speak louder so they can hear us?
I was going to nursing homes. We should do like live spots in nursing homes. Like nobody's conquering podcasts for the elderly.
That's true. That's probably not a big niche market.
I wonder how often they might be getting to the movie theater, though, if they're...
I think a podcast for the elderly would probably not be about current films in the cinema, but things like knitting or what else do old people like? Fear, racism.
Death. Like they like thinking like about
a,
it.
A death podcast. Oh, a podcast of all the people who died last week.
Oh, man.
The show has taken a dark turn.
Yes, it has.
Let's talk about those DVD releases for this week.
Can we please?
Yeah. There's a couple of good ones.
By my account, the three that I saw add up to a 22.
22 out of 30.
22 out of 30. That's not bad. It's not bad at all.
I saw all four of them. Not to brag or anything, but I did.
Well, it's not bragging if one of them is Ice Age Collision Course. Really? And that's not good. Through it. You hated this movie, right? That's what I recall. You hated this film.
Did I hate it?
You couldn't believe that it exists. You want the franchise dead? Is that right?
I definitely did not like it. I didn't hate it as much as Angry Birds movie, as far as bad cartoons this year go. But no, it's bad. Ice Age Collision Course. And I didn't care for Legend of Tarzan, which you liked.
That's right.
Legend of Tarzan,
you know what it is? Summer entertainment. Summer blockbuster.
It was so boring. The most boring Tarzan.
Hey guys, give Tarzan a chance. He's never caught a break.
Yeah. Also, Lady Ghostbusters. Well, just called Ghostbusters. It's under G, not L. Ghostbusters, the new one. That's out on DVD now.
I have it. I have not watched it yet, but it's an extended cut. Can you imagine?
Yes.
Doesn't that sound like a groundbreaking thing?
They added more scenes?
more scenes what? In the movie.
And then also The Infiltrator. Bryan Cranston is The Infiltrator.
This is a no-brainer.
That was a good movie. We liked that one.
This is a no-brainer. If you like Cranston, watch him act his butt off in this movie. That's what you need to do. So that's the easy choice. Otherwise, if you're like, I need a little bit more fluff, then for me, it's a toss-up between Ghostbusters and Legend of Tarzan.
That's not a question for me because I didn't like Tarzan. Right. But, yeah. There you go. There's some movies you can check out on DVD, Blu-ray. They're generally on iTunes and Amazon and your other streaming on-demand sort of things.
So many options. It's so confusing
because
now.
There's so many ways to watch movies.
With your Rokus and your...
PS4s.
And your Hulus.
And your Flicksters. And your MySpace.
What was before MySpace?
Friendster.
Oh, my God.
Remember Friendster?
Yeah. Remember when Facebook was only for students?
Yeah, it was just for college students. Yeah. I think they opened it up in like 2004 or 5, I think, something like that.
I don't know. Every time I hear when Facebook actually happened, I'm like, really? That I would have guessed 40 years before that. That's insane.
Feels like we've had it forever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that almost wraps up the show. You wanted to mention something, did you?
If you guys didn't know this about me, the Chicago Cubs are in the playoffs, and it's a really big deal for me, and it's very time-consuming and emotional, and my stomach hurts when they're down, and mm-hmm. I feel just such pure joy when they're up, and I just want so badly for them to win so I can care less. I just need to care less about the Cubs. It's not cool because not only that. I don't watch 162 games during the regular season.
No.
It's like if they're not winning, I realize that my time is spent doing better things. But like when they win, it's like, oh, my gosh, this could actually happen for me. Mm-hmm. And I do believe it will happen in my life. I'm not that mm-hmm. idiot. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, it's never going to happen. We got a good payroll. We got everything. I just it would be so nice. I'll be happy. I will be content. If they get to the World Series, because I was at the Steve Bartman game and it was devastating to me, devastating on a sports level that I had to reevaluate my whole fandom on like how I care about things that I can't control and stuff like that.
I wasn't listening to any of that, but is Steve Bartman where the song Do the Bartman came from?
I think that's our show.
What's funny is that by the time you listeners hear this, the Cubs' fortunes may have changed.
No.
Well, I guess they'll still be – they couldn't be out by then. That's true.
Right. Right now when you're listening to this, they're either playing the Dodgers or the Nationals.
The Dodgers. They're for sure playing the Dodgers.
And then after they do that, they can play in the World Series. That would be nice.
If they make it that far.
It would be really nice. It would be really, really nice.
Listeners, I can tell you I've seen firsthand – how excited and emotional Jeff can be about this thing that affects his life in no way whatsoever. It's fascinating, you Earth people and your sports fanaticism.
All right, you have no idea because you didn't join for Game 3 of this series at the bar.
No, I didn't join you for that. Went to extra innings, didn't it?
Oh, gosh, it was so long.
Oh, man, yes, yeah. But anyway, glad I dodged that bullet.
At one point, the Cubs were up
mm-hmm.
and everything was looking good. And then the Giants took the lead, and it was late in the game. And as soon as the ball was hit, I stood up and walked. Like, I was like, I didn't see where it landed. I was like, that's either a home run or a double to the wall. This is awful. This is awful. and my friends actually were like, I don't know if he's coming back. they were starting to, like, and I was everybody's ride.
Mm.
And then I came back, and I was dead silent forever. And then something good happened where it was like, maybe this is like demons are going away. I don't know yet. But anyway.
How did I let you trick me to talking about baseball on the show?
Because people don't know this. Well, actually, here's the thing.
They do know and they don't care.
No, you had a crush on Vin Scully.
Yeah.
Like not the Dodgers, just Vin.
Yeah, I was not.
Because you're like, oh, yeah, that's right. They're still in playoffs.
Right. Now that Vin is retired, and even though the Dodgers are in the playoffs, I'm not watching because it's not Vin Scully. I'll watch a game. I need to see if I can tolerate someone other than Vin Scully.
It would be fun if the Dodgers are playing the Cubs and then we watched a couple games.
That would be fun.
It's not fun. It's awful to watch the games. Oh, they take so long and they're so slow. And it's just like anything can happen. And I always think the worst thing is going to happen.
See, that's what I don't get. I don't see where the fun in it, where there is fun in it when that's your situation. For me, watching a game, I just enjoy the game. It's a nice, it's slow paced and I enjoy the tone and the atmosphere of it. It's fun. But I can't imagine being like sick and nervous about it. Where's the fun in that?
It's not.
Then why do you stay with them when they keep abusing you?
Because it's going to be really sweet.
This time it's going to be different. Yeah, I know.
Yes.
They've been saying for what, 106 years or
That's
something?
Right. That's right.
Yeah. Whatever. Cubs. Anyway, what we learned on the show today is the accountant is all right. Pretty good.
Yeah. If you need to see a movie, see that movie. Why wouldn't you?
And then Christine, I liked a lot more than you did. It's almost BS approved.
No, it's not.
Well, I mean, half of us approved it.
It was 50% there.
Right, right.
That is not a passing grade.
And that's all. Those were all the movies.
That's all we got.
Send us some more feedback, suggestions for the show, and we'll be back next week with more stuff.
I think next week we're going to talk about movies.
Yeah, I think we're probably going to talk about movies. And if there's time, baseball.
The Cubs.
Yeah, we'll see. So until next week, for Movie BS with Bear and Snyder, I'm Eric D. Snyder.
I am Jeff Bear.
Thanks for listening and good day.
I said good day.